All right, I'll invite you to bow your heads with me once again as we prepare our hearts to reflect upon that word that Joan just read for us here today. Well, Father, again, we thank you for this time to gather in your presence along with our brothers and sisters in the faith. And we thank you that, Lord, we could be an encouragement to one another simply by gathering together to sing your praises and also to gather together under the teaching of your word. And we just pray that you'd be at work in each one of us today. As we listen, we pray that you would keep our minds from drifting off to other things, but help us to focus on what you are saying to us, that we would be able to glean something from this word, and that we'd be able to carry it with us, both today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, even though Advent is technically the beginning of the Christmas season, I know that, practically speaking, for most of us, we consider Thanksgiving to be just that. In our mind, once Thanksgiving is over, the Christmas season has begun, and we can see this in a couple of ways. We can see it, first of all, in our reaction to those early Christmas decorators, you know, who do exist out there in our own community. We also see the stores putting up Christmas decorations exceedingly early. I remember walking into Shopko before Thanksgiving this year, and I saw employees putting up Christmas trees. And again, as we see this, we tend to comment, we tend to feel that this is way too soon, and we tend to believe that we should wait till we at least get through Thanksgiving before we jump into the season of Christmas. I mentioned last week that the Sunday after Thanksgiving, that's what my family did. You know, we put up the Christmas tree and some other decorations, and we know many others do the same. Once Thanksgiving is over, we decorate. Living in North Dakota, I realize there are some exceptions to this. If you have a nice warm day, you know, before Thanksgiving, you'll see some men out hanging Christmas lights outside. That's just practical, though. You know, it's much better to do it when it's 40 degrees than when it's 40 below. And we just take advantage of those times. But we even see this mindset that Thanksgiving is the beginning of the Christmas season on display at the end of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade every year. Because again, what's the end of that parade? Santa Claus, as he's ushering in the season of Christmas. And I'm not trying to be critical of this mindset here today, because in all reality, Advent follows right on the heels of Christmas. Many years, it's the Sunday immediately after Thanksgiving, while other years, like this one, it's a perfect example of this. We had a week in between. But it's only natural that we consider Thanksgiving to be the beginning of the Christmas season. But with this connection between Thanksgiving and Christmas, something very interesting has taken place. Knowing that we celebrate Christmas by giving gifts, retailers, they of course kick off the Christmas season by offering all kinds of sales and deals on these things that we just have to buy. And you can get some great deals. It's needless to say, you can get some of the very best deals by going shopping the day after Thanksgiving. Most of you know by now that the Friday after Thanksgiving, it's now known as Black Friday. And this day got its name because the Christmas season is when retailers finally start making money. You know, as people are out buying gifts to give to their kids or to give to other family members and friends, retailers finally make it out of the red and into the black on their balance sheets. So, again, it's Black Friday. And you've seen these deals. All kinds of great ones on Black Friday. You can find things marked down tremendously. And so if you were planning to make a purchase, you know, it's smart just to kind of wait and watch those sales and see if you can find a really good deal that time of year. We also know Black Friday can be absolutely crazy at the stores. People will line up. I don't know if they do it in Bismarck or communities around here, but you see it in bigger areas. But people will line up so they can be the first one into the store as the doors open. They want to be able to get the first shot at these great deals, and they want to be able to get their items before the stores are sold out and the stores are completely picked over. And some of you may even recall years ago, it, you know, every once in a while it'll turn violent. You know, I can remember back to my childhood, and for the girls, Cabbage Patch dolls were all the craze. And I remember the news reports and the headlines of people rushing the stores, pushing, shoving. There were even reports of broken bones, people just trying to get these dolls for their little girls in the chaos. And then in recent years, Black Friday has been followed by Cyber Monday, right? While Black Friday has focused on people coming into the stores in order to get these deals, Cyber Monday is focused on online shopping. Retailers noticed that a trend that probably isn't the best, but they noticed that as people went back to work after the Thanksgiving holiday, they went online during their working hours and made all kinds of purchases. So they were basically shopping when they were supposed to be working. And so the online retailers started offering all kinds of deals on the Monday after Thanksgiving. Now, most of you, you're familiar with this. This is nothing new to you. Most of you have taken part in this in one way or another. Now, I'm not the type of person who likes to go to the stores on Black Friday. I just don't like to deal with the craziness, but I've gotten some pretty good deals this time of year on things that I've wanted to buy. There are a few times when a particular sale has managed to lure me into the store, but more often than not, I'll find a deal online and just order it that way. But one of the things we know, and this is kind of my point in this, if you don't jump on these great deals that we see on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, you know they're going to be gone. If we don't jump on them, you know that you're going to miss out. The markdowns are great, but they don't last very long. And so if you hesitate on making your purchase, you'll find yourself paying more in the days ahead. It might still be on sale, but the sale won't be as good. Or, you know, worst case scenario, you'll find yourself paying full price for that item you want to buy. And this is kind of the idea that came to my mind as I thought of Christmas and looked at our lesson here for this morning. Because Paul, as we look at that passage in 2 Corinthians, he had concluded the fifth chapter of that book appealing to the people to be reconciled to God. He had told them that he, along with his co-workers, were Christ's ambassadors, and God was making his appeal through them that they should be reconciled. And the beginning of chapter 6 ties right in with this, because he wants the people to receive the grace of God. That much is clear. But he does not want them to receive the grace of God in vain, he says. So he does not want them to receive God's grace in an empty or in a meaningless sort of way. And so when he says this, when he tells them that they are not to receive God's grace in vain, he's telling them in essence the opposite. He wants them to receive God's grace sincerely, and he wants them to receive God's grace genuinely. They could not offer an empty profession of faith. They couldn't offer a meaningless profession of faith and at the same time expect to receive the salvation of God. And sadly, that's where many people were back in Paul's day. And if they weren't, then this encouragement that Paul is giving, it would have been completely unnecessary. But we also recognize, as we look around at our society today, that this is where many people are in our own nation, in our own time. And what's even worse is that this is what many people in the church are doing today. Although they confess faith in the Lord, and although they profess faith in the gospel, their words lack sincerity. Because no matter what they say verbally, they haven't truly trusted in Christ. They have not sincerely received the grace of God. And sometimes in the church, we hear people grumble about this. We even hear people joke about it, you know. And some of you have heard the jokes. You know, there's the old joke about the church that had the problem with bats. We haven't had that problem here, but, you know, some churches, they used to have issues with bats. And the church discovered that the solution, after trying everything, was they just baptized them and confirmed them, and they never saw them again. And so we complain about this, and we grumble about it, but this is a reality that we find. We find that so often our students, they complete their years of confirmation instruction, they stand up in front of the church, and they confess their faith in the Lord, but then it's as if they've graduated from church, right? They're rarely, if ever, seen again after they go through that ceremony. And many are not seen again unless it's a major holiday. You know, they might show up for Christmas. They might show up for Easter. They don't come to church. They're not seen again unless somebody in their family dies and they're attending the funeral. You may not see them again until finally someday they come back and they want to get married in the church. or you don't see them again until years have passed and they want to get their own child baptized. Now, as much as we grumble and complain and even joke about this, the same thing is true of adults in the church as well, because, again, we have many adults who join the church confessing faith in Jesus. They stand up front, they say all of the right things as they're being received into the congregation, yet even though this is true, their confession is not sincere. Now, most of us in our society today, our families are from a Christian background, so we at least have that going for us. And even if our parents didn't take us to church when we were young, their parents likely took them to church. And so there is some kind of a Christian influence in our families. And so most of us have some kind of a familiarity with the Christian faith. Most of us would say that we believe in God, and most of us would say that we believe in Jesus. And in the same way, most people in our nation today can tell you that Jesus died on the cross. Even if they aren't churchgoers, they know this from the holidays that they celebrate. And they remember from our Holy Week observances that we're celebrating Jesus' death and also his resurrection. However, even though this is true, even though we have this background foundation here in our nation and in our families, the simple fact of the matter is that few have sincerely received the grace of Christ. Few have sincerely trusted in him as their Lord and Savior. And more often than not, they are offering only lip service. And there are several reasons for this. One reason for this is that most people here in our society today, they don't even recognize their need to be saved. And the reason they don't recognize this, and we've talked about this before, is simply because they don't think they're all that bad. In fact, they think of themselves as a pretty good person. And because they think of themselves in this way, they don't believe they need to be saved. In fact, they believe they're deserving of heaven. They believe that they're deserving of every blessing that God has to offer them. And they would go as far as saying that it would be unjust of God, it would be wrong of him to deny them their place in heaven or any other blessing that they feel they need. And they fail to recognize in this what Paul tells us in Romans 3. Starting in verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And so one of the truths as believers that we have to come to terms with is that no, we are not good people. And it's for this reason that we need the salvation of God. Another reason why many people have yet to receive the grace of God is because they believe they can earn it for themselves. And again, I think you're familiar with this mentality. Instead of looking to Christ, they trust in themselves for salvation. And this is true regardless of whether they are professing faith in Christ or any other religion that is practiced here in our nation. If you talk to most people in our country today, and if you ask them if they believe they'll go to heaven when they die, almost everybody will say yes. You might find a few exceptions, but most will say yes. And if you ask them why they believe this, why they believe they'll be in heaven at the end, they typically will tell you that they're a good person and they've lived a pretty good life. They'll tell you that they have done more good things in life than they have done bad. And so in this way, it becomes clear that they are not trusting in Jesus for the salvation that they need. In reality, they are trusting in themselves. They are trusting in their inherent goodness, or they're trusting in their actions in order to gain them a place in God's everlasting kingdom. And the problem with this is that we cannot be saved this way according to Scripture. As Paul again tells us in Romans 3, this time in verse 20, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." And Paul tells us very clearly here that we cannot be saved by our own efforts. We cannot be saved by doing good. The effect that the law has upon us when we look at it, when we read it and hear it, is it reveals to us our guilt. in our shortcomings, again, it reveals to us our need to be saved. When we look at God's law, again, it shows us how we have fallen short. It shows us that if we are going to be saved, this is not something that we can do for ourselves. If we are going to be saved, we need a Savior. And of course, as most of you know, this is where Jesus stepped in. As we heard last week, Jesus was born into this world for the purpose of saving us from our sins. And he did so by giving his life, by dying upon the cross on our behalf. So we are saved not by what we have done. We're saved not by what we can do. We're saved only because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And a final reason, and there may be more, but the final one we're talking about today, but the last reason why many people have yet to receive the grace of God is because, quite frankly, they enjoy their sin. Even if they recognize that by what they are doing, they are violating God's laws and commands, they don't care. They don't want to change. They don't want to be saved from their sin. Instead, they want God to accept their sin. They want to be able to continue living in their sin so they can continue to enjoy it in the years to come. They don't recognize what Peter told the crowds on the day of Pentecost. As he was preaching to the crowds, they asked him what they must do, and Peter answered them in this way. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so he told them very plainly that repentance is necessary if they were to be saved. So what I'm saying is that even though our nation has Christian roots, for whatever reason, a vast majority of people in our society have not truly received the grace of God. They have not done so sincerely, and for this reason, they are presently lost. For this reason, they still need to receive his grace, and they need to do so very, very soon, because at the present moment, they stand condemned in the eyes of God. And they need to receive the grace of God very soon, because as Paul goes on to tell us in our lesson for today in verse 2, now is the time to do so. They need to do so because now, he says, is the favorable time. He tells them that now is the day of salvation. And Paul, as he says this, he's quoting from Isaiah 49, where God is speaking to the promised Savior, and God promises to answer him and to help him that he might provide the salvation we so desperately need. And this is that time, according to Paul in our lesson. This is the day of God's favor. This is the day of his salvation. Again, as we know from the gospel message, God has provided salvation for all people by sending Jesus into the world. Again, that's why we celebrate Christmas. He has provided for the salvation of all people by his Son giving his life upon the cross and rising again. And this blessing can be received by all people through faith in him. However, although his grace is now available to us, this is not always going to be the case. And for this reason, we have to receive it while it's available. We have to receive his salvation while it's still possible. We have to receive it before it's too late. So again, just like those Black Friday sales I was talking about, or just like those Cyber Monday sales, they come to an end, and so too will the day of God's grace. Just as we can miss out on those sales by hesitating, by procrastinating, the same thing is true when it comes to the grace of God. Although we don't know the day or the hour when this day of grace will finally come to an end, we do know that someday it will be too late. Although the grace of God is now available, this is not always going to be true. And when this time comes, according to Scripture, there will be no second chance. We're told in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 9:27, that it's appointed for man to die once and then to face judgment. In other words, once we die, we are judged. And at that point, the day of grace is over for us. There is no more opportunity for us to receive the salvation that God has provided. And the same thing is true for the world as a whole at the time of Jesus' return. As we look through Jesus' teaching in Matthew 24 and 25 in particular, as he describes for us the time of his return, we see that his coming will bring the day of grace to an end. When he comes, we are told, all people will stand before him. When he comes, all people will receive judgment. And at that time, they will receive either his salvation or his condemnation. But whichever the case may be, we don't know when that day will come. None of us know the day of our death. It could happen today. You know, we could suffer a heart attack, you know, after we go home from church today. Maybe we ate too many donuts at fellowship time. I don't know. You know, we could get run over by a car. But then again, we might live another 40, 50 years. We don't know. And the same thing is true when it comes to the return of Christ. As I mentioned before, we don't know the day or the hour of his return. So he could come back today. You know, he could prevent the Vikings or the Packers from another loss by interrupting the game, right? And coming back right then and there. But again, his coming might be another 1,000 years from now. We don't know. But regardless of when it happens, when he returns, the day of grace, the day of salvation will come to a close. And for this reason, we must be prepared. We must receive the grace of God while it's still available to us. We don't want to put it off, only to discover that it's too late. And it's this that we remember at Christmas time. It may not sound like a very Christmassy message, but it is. Because here at Christmas time, we remember Jesus' birth into the world, and with this, salvation was made possible for us and for all people. With his coming, his grace was made available to all mankind. But with the Christmas celebration, we also look forward to the return of Jesus. We are anticipating the fulfillment of his promise that he will return to us, that he might take us to himself, that we might be with him where he is. And again, with his return, we know that the day of salvation will come to a close. And for this reason, we have to really look at our own hearts. And we have to ask, what's true of us? We have to ask, have we truly and sincerely trusted in Christ? Have we truly received the grace of God? Or are we confessing our faith in an empty, meaningless sort of way that does nothing for us? And if we haven't yet received his grace, there is good news. There is good news because it is still the day of grace as we are sitting here today. Jesus has not yet returned. We are obviously still alive because we're here. And for this reason, we still have opportunity to look to him in faith and receive these blessings that he has prepared and provided for us. But that being said, we must take advantage of this opportunity here and now. And if you haven't done so at this point in your life, I encourage you to do so. And I encourage you to do so right now. We must take advantage of this opportunity because, as I have been saying, it can come to a close at any moment. And if we allow that day to pass us by, if we allow it to come without having trusted in Christ, it will be too late. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again today for Jesus. We thank you for the fact that in spite of our sin, in spite of the judgment that we deserve, you sent your Son that he might save us from our sin. And we are so thankful for that salvation he has provided to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to stir in our hearts so that we recognize our need, so that we recognize what he has done for us, and so that we truly and sincerely look to him in faith. And we also pray, Lord, we have many friends and relatives and loved ones who don't yet know you. We pray that you would continue to stir in their hearts as well. We pray that you would continue to provide for them opportunities to hear your word and to learn of what you have done for them. And we pray, Lord, that they too would receive the grace that you have offered before it's too late. And bless our church that we might carry this message into our community, among our families, among our coworkers, among our friends, so that many more might come to know you and your salvation before that day comes to a close. So again, be at work in us and among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite you at this time to please rise and join with me as we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And please join as we sing together our benediction. As you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit.